Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Today I want to talk about being happier. Happier. And I think we would all agree that we want to be happier. You know, the super religious people don't say that because they think they're ultimately happy as it is. But I've realized that I go through seasons in my world that I reflect and I go, man, I just wish I was a bit happier. Like, what's just going on inside? And it's a call to righteousness. That's what we're going to discover today, is the desire to be happier isn't about things we obtain, but it's actually a call of God towards righteousness. See, the world doesn't get that because they don't have Jesus. So when they feel down inside and their source of happiness and well-being is being sucked out of their worlds, they don't go, oh, well, that's a call towards righteousness. But us as Christians, we know from the Word of God we're going to discover today that God is calling you towards righteous living when you feel like you're lacking or happiness is being sucked out of your world. So let's discover this together. You ready? Yep. Anyone ready? Yep. Yep. There's a couple here. I'm in the right place. It's great. Awesome. All right. We got to read from Psalms 1, New King James Version, if you're following. It says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. The ungodly, though, they are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love in that last verse, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows your way. He knows your path. He has a plan for you in your life. He knows where you're going. One of my favorite scriptures is that scripture that says, he will turn all things together for good for those who trust in him. I love that. And that's what I believe. That's why I believe we've been so blessed during the season, is because God has been turning all things together for good for you. He's been doing that during the season where the world is in a pandemic. God's been turning all things together for good for you and I. How amazing is that? And I think many of us have just seen the fruit and the truth of that scripture during this season. You know, when I read Psalms 1, I love Psalms 1. It's the first scripture I ever learned, first chapter I ever learned off by heart in school. And so thank God for my school teachers. That's about the only thing. But, maths, you know, anyway. And science and English, PE, all the subjects. Professor Errol Ozen says this: in pursuit of happiness, smart people often end up dumbing themselves down. They're there. We dumb ourselves down in the pursuit of happiness. Who knows that we want happiness, but we don't want to become dumber than what we were but yesterday. You know, we want to be happy, but we don't. And the reason why this is you might remember Pastor Rick used to often preach, and he used to say that society will always come down to the lowest common denominator. So it's fair for the lowest common denominator people, but it's not fair for the smarter people or the people more advanced. So as a society, it's just human nature when we go on our tangents like we often do, that society will come down to the lowest common denominator. That's what we do with happiness as well. Smart people end up dumbing themselves out in pursuing what people think creates happiness. Let me tell you this: having a hot car will not create happiness in your world. I know that. I had the hot car and it had nothing to do with my happiness. Having more money and winning the lottery will not bring happiness into your world. Money doesn't do that. If anything, it will bring more frustration and anxiety into your world. Getting rid of that husband won't bring happiness into your world. getting rid of that spouse or them finally understanding who you are won't bring. I've been married for 20. We had a COVID anniversary for 20 years. How good? Put your hands together for us. This is great. A bit of reluctancy there. But we've been married 20 years and we've gone through what I feel like at this point is all of the emotions of, you know, two individuals coming together and becoming one. And getting rid of them doesn't create happiness for you, but submitting and serving to one another, that's where the happiness of a marriage will come from. And so getting rid of that person doesn't do it. There's only one person that can bring happiness into your life, and it's Jesus Christ. And the way that Jesus brings happiness into your life is through righteousness. Through righteousness. That's why he came. He established the laws of righteousness for humanity to live according to. See, a lot of people think that when we give our hearts to God, we are bound because we have to live in particular ways. But who knows that regulations and boundaries doesn't restrict a person, it actually frees a person. Any parents in the room, you know that. You give your children some boundaries in life and it's to bring freedom. But you allow your children to do whatever they want, they will go down dark avenues and down tunnels that will just bring condemnation into their world. So we protect them with boundaries, right? And that's what the law is, and that's what Jesus came to establish, is a way for you and I to live in righteousness. Because here's the thing, here's the answer to the big question today. How do I get happier? You pursue righteousness. How do you get happier? You pursue righteousness. Happiness will not come from anything or anybody else. Something I learned probably about 8 years into marriage was that Melanie will never satisfy me deep down inside. I thought that when we first got together, I had the hottest chick around, and I thought if I could just obtain that lady into my world, that I would be content and happy and fulfilled as a man, but it didn't happen. And I realized about 8 years in, the only way I'd be really content, joyful, and happy was by pursuing righteousness, by getting closer to Jesus, getting closer to Jesus. You know, there's a saying that I love and hate all at the same time, and it's all I need is Jesus. You know, has anyone heard that saying? If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard it. There's been songs about it. All we need is Jesus. From the human perspective, that's not true. From the spiritual perspective, it's 100% true. We need each other. We need people. We need church on Sundays to congregate, to worship together. We need these things because the human flesh nature is weak. But from the spiritual perspective, all we need is Jesus. He is the only one that can bring ultimate fulfillment, happiness, and joy into yours and my world. Amen? So Jesus is the source of our happiness. In the scripture we read this morning, verse 1, I'm going to focus just on verse 1 today. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I just want to look at verse 1, word 1, chapter 1 of Psalms. It's the word blessed. So in the Hebrew, okay, there's two distinct meanings for blessed in the Old Testament in the Bible. And one of them is being blessed like from a king. So he blesses you. And it's a very outward, external concept. So King David was blessed, okay? And so people knew that when he grew up, he would become king. So it was like an external thing. But there's also another meaning of blessing in the Hebrew, and it's the word Esher. And it means happiness. It means contentment. And it's talking about an internal thing inside of a person. So not happy with a big house, but happy deep down inside where you could live anywhere and you're the happiest person ever. And from the root word, it means to be straight or to be right. To be straight or right. Righteous is right living. So to be straight or to be right, we must pursue righteousness that's found in Jesus Christ. And so there's three things from today's scripture. So it says this, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Walks, stands, and sits. Walks, stands, and sits. Because he who walks according to the counsel of the ungodly will soon stand to look on the way of a sinner, and thus being off guard, will soon sit and partake in his evil deeds. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm asking the question right now, who do you receive counsel from in your world? Big question, if we're honest with ourselves. Who counsels you in your world? Girls, who's your girlfriend that you run to when you're in troubles or you're frustrated or you don't understand things? Who's the girlfriend that you run to? Because that's your counselor. That's who you're going to for counselor. Guys, do we self-counsel or do we reach out to somebody? In other words, do we just think and think and think, which is meditation? So we're meditating on negative things, or do we reach out to somebody? I'll give you a clue. It's great and healthy for guys to reach out to somebody. It's really hard for us to do though, okay? It's very hard for a male to reach out. I don't know why. I've got theories on this. I'll share them one day. But it's hard for a guy to reach out, but it's healthy for a guy to reach out. And can I say we need to reach out? If you want to move forward in life, not just with God, but in life, you need to be able to reach out to somebody trusted. We can't counsel ourselves because we only have our knowledge to do that with. We only have our assumptions to do that with. Our perspectives are only ours. We can't give a new perspective, so we need to reach out. Who's counseling in your world? Can I say this? If you're getting counsel from somebody your age, you need to shift it. You need to get counsel from somebody who's older than you, somebody who's done the journey of life a bit more than you, somebody who's walked a bit further than you, okay? Not somebody who might be older, but you look at their life and you go, oh my goodness, I wouldn't want a life like that. Well, you don't go to them for counsel. In my old church, my music director, Pastor Steve Ryan, amazing, amazing man of God, and he was 10 years older than me. He was the person I would always go to for counsel because he was older. I looked at his life, and Mel and I used to always look at this couple and say, when we grow up, if we have a life like them, a marriage like them, have finances like them, think like they do, and have a ministry like them, we will be able to tick a box of success in our world. Like these guys, we modeled ourselves off this couple for 10 years in our lives. And so I received only counsel. Can I even say this? My parents aren't here this morning, but that would be okay if they were. Many, many times I went to Steve rather than my own father, okay? Because Dad's, 20 plus years older than me. Steve understood the very world that I was in. I mean, we were doing ministry and life together every single week, but older and wiser than me. And so there's some people that you go to for different things, and there's some things that I only go to my father about. Okay, marriage is especially one of them. He has one of the best marriages on planet Earth. Mum and Dad have a fantastic marriage. So I'll go to Dad and I'll say, how do you deal with this? How do you work through this? I don't gossip to a friend. My wife, my wife's perfect anyway. I've got nothing to gossip about. But or my relationships with guys, I don't gossip. I don't talk about it. I go to somebody for counsel and say, how can I be a better friend to that person? I don't blame them with all their issues. They've got issues. I can't do anything about that. But I could be a better friend to help them through their issues and love them on the journey and be and stand by them. Who would like a friend like that in their world? Fantastic. You do that by getting wise counsel. So first of all, we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Is your counsel coming from your work colleagues and they're not even Christians? Because that's what the world does. They, and the scripture's saying, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Have mature. You've all got fantastic leaders. Some of the best pastors on planet Earth right now. Shoot us a text and just ask a question. How would you navigate this in life? Then the next part is stand. We don't stand in the path of sinners. Whose lifestyle do you entertain? Standing means you've stopped. You stopped walking and you're now in a stationary position and you're entertaining something or somebody. What are you entertaining in your world? Because if you aren't entertaining the right things, happiness is being sucked out of the core of who you are. Happiness is being entertained. Listen to podcasts of preachers every day. Every single day I'll listen to a podcast of a preacher around the world. Jump online now and watch City Point TV during the week. You know, stand and when you do stand, make sure you're entertaining with substance that's going to help you grow and help you be happy inside. When you stand, read the Word of God. Whenever you find yourself in a stationary position, make sure you're filling your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, man, with the things of God. Amen? So don't be standing watching TV or just video gaming all the time. Kids, don't video game all the time. You know, have restrictions. Mum and dad, put restrictions on your kids. You're only allowed to game on weekends and only for an hour a day or 2 hours a day. Put restrictions because we are called to govern our children and put boundaries around so that when they're stationary and idle, they're not sitting on computer games where people are killing people. Is this okay to be honest? So people aren't killing people and that's what they're feeding themselves because happiness in that moment is being sucked out of their lives. Instead, you know, send them out on the trampoline and have some joy and have some fun and some laughter in their world. You know, get them reading the Bible. You're probably not going to get that. Get them listening to podcasts. That might not happen too. But find ways. Make sure there's worship music in your house and that you aren't just listening to secular stuff all the time. But your kids are having this praise and worship and positivity going into their world when they're standing. And joy isn't being sucked out of their life, but they are going to bed smiling because happiness is deep down inside of them. Is that good? And the last one is, nor do we sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to read the definition of scornful here. This is really cool. And I would like you to do something, not think about your friend, okay, or your brother and sister. Let's self-evaluate while I read this out, all right? This is what scornful is. And it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Expressing extreme contempt. Contemptuous, disdainful, insulting. Disrespectful, exhibiting lack of respect, rude or discourteous, remarks disrespectful of the law of our land. That's great. Remarks that are disrespectful of Australian government during COVID season. This is legit. Respectful in the presence of his parents or her parents. Disrespectful towards his teacher. Is there anything there that rung true for you? Maybe you found during COVID talking negative about, oh, the stupid laws. You know, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? Well, they're protecting you and I so we don't end up like America. That's legit. We have an amazing government that are doing such a great job. You know, when you talk out of your mouth, does negativity often come out of your mouth? Because that leads towards being a scornful person and happiness is being sucked out of your life. Every time you do a reality conversation, okay, so what this means is a lot of people say, yeah, but, you know, you've got to be real. And that gives them permission to talk negative. Have we ever met someone like that? Probably outside of these four walls, I'm sure. People that talk negative and then their answer to you is, well, we've got to be real. Like, you can't just be positive when things aren't positive. Well, I've learned that that's actually not true. I used to think like that. And about 15 years ago, I had a revelation that if I have something that's not positive in my brain, that's where it stays. Take every thought into captivity, the Bible says. That's where it stays. And I have learned to twist the negativity. okay? I manipulate myself, I twist my negativity, and I find a positive slant and I speak the positivity, okay? So I'm still real. I can still see the situation isn't good. I can still see that that person doesn't do good things. But I dig deep because I'm a man of faith. I find the faith to speak, and that's what I confess. Okay? So I grew up with a guy who went to jail for murder. Okay? And he's out of prison, had a complete life transformation, is now a preacher of the gospel and an amazing guy. But I remember his sister, and often people would ask things. And that's a pretty, like, extreme, this is an extreme example. But I would find faith in the situation and say, well, God can do amazing things through his life if God touches him in prison when he comes out. And guess what's happened? God touched his life, completely transformed him. He came out years ago and has been touring the world, preaching the good news with a testimony, reaching places that I will never reach. God has used him to go where I could never go because of my story. There is always a faith stance to take. That's what positivity is. This is true biblical positivity I'm talking about. Not just, you know, pretending, but being true that I have something of faith to speak. Amen. Are we any faith people in the house this morning? Lift your hand if you're a faith person in this place. I love our pastors from our Redcliffe City Point location, Pastor Sam and Carolina. I honor them because whenever they talk, they make sure out of their mouth, and especially to their church and everything they ever say as people, not just in front of people, but we've been to their house for dinner, they speak faith into every situation because we serve a good God. He can do amazing things, amen. He can heal the heart, covers our sin, saves us. Just amazing. So rather than walking, standing, and sitting like the sinner, we have the opportunity to delight in the ways of the Lord. Let me say this, if the attitude isn't healthy, then it's not okay. If the action in any way is harmful to a person, whether it's action of words or physical actions, it's not okay. If the decision is opposing your leaders or your pastors, it's not okay. Remember, I'm not sure if I preached this or, but anyway, it was really good. It came from me. If you want to receive blessing from being under covering, even when your leaders or your pastors ask you to do something you don't like or don't really agree with, okay, get this. Even if it's wrong, if there's a better way to do it, okay, you receive the blessing from God through obedience. This is the Old Testament right now. Through your obedience, you will still receive a blessing by honoring your leaders and your pastor, and God will deal with them. Remember the scripture in the Bible that says, don't desire to be a preacher or a teacher because they'll be judged more harshly, okay? So God will deal with your leaders and your pastors, but through obedience, you will still walk in blessing. That's the ways of God. That's amazing, and that's good news right there. So can I say, to still move under the covering of leadership and your pastors, and if it doesn't sound like, if it doesn't feel like a Jesus way or a Jesus thought or a Jesus word to speak, well, then it's not okay because God is calling us towards righteousness to be happier and happier. Amen. Something to remember is that sin and the way to unrighteousness is progressive. A person doesn't end up there, or a Christian doesn't end up a negative person or an unhappy person overnight. There's a progression towards that way. And it's by walking, it's by standing, and it's by sitting. Okay, it's by walking with people that aren't going to lead you in the right way, by stopping and sitting with people and entertaining them. I said in the first service, it's kind of like having a beer every second night over your non-Christian mate's house, and walking and sitting and standing with them, or having a beer or a Coca-Cola with a Christian every second night of the week. and having faith put into you and having life put into you. That's the difference, and that's what it looks like in a practical term. So let's not allow inner happiness to be sucked out of our lives because we don't live righteously. Can I say, if you're wondering every now and then or struggling with that true inner happiness that you want, that's a call from God for you towards righteousness. Amen. That's a call of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We have an alarm bell that goes off when we feel sad, when we feel down, when we feel like we're what the world calls depression right now, and we feel like we're going down into these tunnels. God is using that because He turns all things together for good, and He's saying, "Hey, Graham, come on, let me lead you towards righteousness. Let's renew your mind. Let's change your actions. Let's change your words, because I can use this to bring happiness and to satisfy you deep down inside." Counsel from godly people. When you do these things, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. In other words, when the season comes, your life will have fruit. I love this concept. We're about to close on the message, but everything about our lives has a season. The Bible says that there's a season for absolutely everything. Your life has seasons. If you're struggling financially right now, you're not a useless person or a bad father. Okay, it's a season in your life. And God will turn that together for good for those who trust in Him. Keep trusting in God. Keep moving towards righteousness. The season will be over and God will bring blessing and joy into your world like never before. Mel and I have been in a season for 10 years. We lost it during the GFC. We lost everything we ever made in the housing market. We spent 10 years restoring houses and selling. GFC came, we lost everything and have been paying it off for 10 years. During this season of COVID, a new season happened for us. Tomorrow, we actually move our furniture into our new home, our very own home. Isn't God good? He turns all things together for good. But here's the thing. God taught us lessons during this 10 years. And one of those great lessons is life is made up of seasons. Wherever you are in your mind, in your heart, in your relationships, in your marriage, the way that season gets turned around so that your life becomes everything it could be is by you continuing every day to pursue righteousness and not get sidetracked by all the problems, but be always consumed with getting closer to Jesus. And He will fill you with a happiness that even while you're still in that 10-year season, God filled Mel and I with such a happiness and contentment to rent that I think that He brought us to that point where we were like, God, if we never own a house again, that has nothing to do with You being a God of blessing. That has nothing to do with You being faithful or not. I will still get up here every week and talk about miracles. And when God got me to that place and Mel to that place, I think that that's when the season shifted and it had nothing to do with money, because we were still in debt before COVID. We're out of debt right now. And that had nothing to do with money. It all had to do with blessing and seasons of God. God had something to do and He's got something to do in your life. Do you believe that? No matter where you are right now, let these words renew you that your due season is coming in the Lord. Amen. Blessing and harvest into your world is what I prophesy. So I know this, that God desires us to be fully, deeply happy and blessed and content inside of who we are. So let's seek God in our everyday, and I believe that you will become a happier, happier person every single day as you pursue righteousness. You receive that this morning, church? Amen, amen. Can we give God a shout of praise? He's the one that does that in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You know, something that I've recognized, two things in COVID, but something that I've recognized is there has been Christians in the house that have gone through COVID and haven't even read the Bible this whole time. There's Christians that haven't prayed at all during COVID, haven't spent time with the Lord at all during COVID. And this is all completely okay. I want to say that. I want to bring the guilt away. The devil will try and bring guilt into your life, but that's not how God or the Holy Spirit operates. What he does is he shows you how to move forward from there. And so right now, if that's you this morning, you've realized that your foundations, okay, this season has shown you that your foundations weren't as solid as you thought they were. Maybe you've been relying on the Sunday church to get your fix every week, or you've been relying on your friends to do that. But God wants you to be able to stand in faith on your own. And so in a moment, I'm going to just give you an opportunity to respond just to God and just lift your hand and say, God, simply that was me. And I believe that in that response that the Holy Spirit will come and do a mighty work in your life. And I want to see you go from strength to strength today. Also, there's people here, and maybe you actually don't know Jesus, and you've been listening to this message, and you've been going, like, man, I want that sort of happiness in my world. Well, let me tell you this. It's available for every single one of us. It's called Jesus Christ. All we do is give our heart to him. The Bible says to confess that he is Lord. He will come into your world, transform you. He will cover your sins. He will wash you clean and give you a new start. So if I could just ask for every eye to be closed right now, every head bowed, no one's looking around. But if you fall into either of those two categories, can you just boldly lift your hand right now just so I can see who I'm about to pray with? I see your hands. Thank you. Is there anyone else here this morning? I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to give your life to God, start this new journey of what we call being a Christian, but really it's just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to go on this journey. If you just lift your hand boldly right now, no one can see. I just want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, let me pray. Father God, you saw the hands. More importantly, you saw the hearts. Even the hands that didn't go up, you saw the hearts open this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come and just fill your people? For those that just gave their life to you or rededicated their life to you or simply just said, God, I want to strengthen my relationship. Wash away their sins right now. Purify their heart, purify their mind. I pray for strength as they walk out of these doors, Father God, that they will just feel strength inside of them to live and to walk towards righteousness. Holy Spirit, as you convict them of their tongue or the way they live or what they look at or the way they speak or feel or allow themselves emotionally to feel inside when they think of life and the troubles. For Holy Spirit, as you bring these things to their attention, Lord God, I pray for strength, Lord God, for conviction, Lord God, that they can stand up and walk forward again in Christ Jesus. You are our strength, Lord God, and we thank you. We give you our lives. Everyone in this room today rededicates every single day our lives to you because you are our Redeemer, and our Redeemer lives in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen.